Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, in this action-packed episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, we talk about issues that others are afraid to talk about. We go deep and we go wide here on The Charlie Kirk Show, thanks to your support. If you are moved by this podcast and you like the work we are doing and you want to support us in our mission to reach millions of young people, you guys can play a role and be partners with us at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. If you want to come join us in Tampa, Florida, for our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit. It is next week, coming up fast. Go to tpusa.com/SAS. That's tpusa.com/SAS. Join us in Tampa, Florida at tpusa.com/SAS. And now my conversation with the amazing Jesse Waters. Enjoy. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Did you get hit with a big tax bill you weren't expecting? With rates being very low and home equity being high, perfect time to refinance. Look, we're all about refinancing all this. Here's the long and short of it. You should not be giving business to bad companies. So if you're using Goldman Sachs, bad company. Wells Fargo, bad company. JP Morgan, bad company. All these companies, they love BLM. They hate America. And quite honestly, if you're listening to this program, they hate you. And so if you want to take out a loan, here's what I'm going to tell you what to do. Maybe you're a new family. You're like, I want to buy a house and it's my dream house and I want to take out a loan. The good news is that there are partners called Andrew and Todd, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, andrewandtodd.com. Just save that in your notes, by the way. Just save it in the notes of your phone because you might need it. Like, I don't need it. My banker at Goldman Sachs is just fine. Or my banker at Bank of America is just fine. Like, okay. Then when you go take that loan and you go sign those 95,000 pieces of paper they give you, you know what you're really signing? You're signing contribution forms to BLM Incorporated. That's what you're doing. When you go take out a loan with Chase, when you go take out a loan with Wells Fargo, you might as well go give the money to Joe Biden. So when you go to DC next and you go travel maybe with your family, why don't you just get a cashier's check and drop it off at the White House entrance? That's what you're doing when you bank with these woke losers at Wells Fargo. So take out a loan with the good guys. It's Andrew and Todd. Look, they're just great people. They're Christians. They love the Lord. They love America. And you call them up and just say, I want to speak to Andrew and Todd. That's all you have to say. Charlie Kirk sent me. And their number is 888-888-1172. That's andrewandtodd.com. andrewandtodd.com. 888-888-1172. You go to andrewandtodd.com. 888-888-1172 and say, you should make a vow to yourself. Just make a promise to yourself. I refuse to fund companies that hate America. I refuse to fund companies that hate America. And you have a choice. If you want to take out a loan or just explore the idea of refinancing, andrewandtodd.com. Call 888-888-1172. I go out to eat with these guys. They're terrific. They're good people. andrewandtodd.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. With us today is a man who describes himself as charming and brilliant and generous. And now he wants to talk about how humble he is. Jesse Waters is the author of his new book, How I Saved the World. Jesse, welcome.
Nice to be here with you, Charlie. Is this podcast sponsored by Relief Factor? Because I am aching from all this book promotion.
ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free. You too can also get to the higher levels of enlightenment with ReliefFactor.com. So one of our many sponsors. So Jesse, tell us how you saved the planet.
Well, I saved myself because if you know me, Charlie, you know I needed a lot of saving. And it is my world, so that's how I save the world. But the message is, these liberals have a savior complex. They're constantly trying to save everybody else. Meanwhile, their house is not in order. So they need to focus on themselves first. And then if we all focus on fixing ourselves, we can save the world. Was that too deep for your audience, Charlie, or do we get that? That's what's called an analogy.
That's perfect. That's just right on point, because we do have some Biden voters that listen to the Charlie Kirk Show. Not a lot, but every so often they come and they listen. I want to listen to I want to list some of your wonderful endorsements for your book. It's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. Now, are all these real, Jesse, or are some of these embellished?
No, these are actual quotes about me from mainstream media periodicals.
Oh, this is great. Jesse's mom, where is Dana Perino? She is desperately needed. The Washington Post says Jesse Waters is officially out of control. Mayor Bill de Blasio says, keep this guy off of TV. At Media Matters, I don't even know what this, a human Yaga bomb. Is that right?
Jaeger bomb, Charlie.
Jaeger. Oh, so you probably spent too many Octobers in the Bavarian region of Germany. A smug, unfunny goon.
Yes, actually accurate. I am smug. So they had that right.
Slightly smug. Blissfully ignorant, Salon. This one's a little bit R-rated by Gawker. Probably the swarmiest F on the planet. And then Soledad O'Brien. Jesse Waters is even more stupid than I originally gave him credit for. I mean, surprisingly ignorant, which I kind of knew, but still. And then the New Yorker says, a Fox News reporter with a Stifler-esque swagger who does not tend to break the actual news. And then finally, the Daily Beast, the greatest of them all. Does Waters have the most punchable face in America? The answer is obviously yes. How are you able to get this list?
I didn't ask for it. I just took it and plastered it on the back of the book. Listen, Charlie, you've written books before. You have to do that thing where you call Hannity or you call Glenn Beck and you say, guys, can you write a fake blurb about how great of a writer I am without ever reading anything I've ever written? And then you owe him a favor. I don't want to owe Sean a favor. I don't want to owe anyone a favor. So I just plagiarized what these hateful mainstream media people said about me and slapped it on the back.
And so walk us through what else you talk about in the book, some of the themes, and then your heroic journey of how other people could also get to the type of success that you've been able to achieve to save the entire planet.
Well, big thing is humor. The left has to police humor because ridicule is a really powerful instrument. Remember Jon Stewart? You might be too young to remember him.
I do remember Jon Stewart.
He had a run where it was the hottest show on television because he would just roast these Republicans. And it was so effective that he would actually move the needle on policy, because people were so afraid of getting the Jon Stewart treatment. And he did it in a comedic way. And that's why it was so impactful. If Republicans make jokes, that means we're racist, because we come from an evil place, according from the left. We're not allowed to be humorous because that makes us likable. And if we're likable, we're actually human. Now, they try to dehumanize us because it allows the left to treat us like scum, like Nazis, like expendable pieces of garbage. And that justifies them taking away our right to earn a living and put food on the table for our family. So humor and ridicule are big themes. Also, I would say a big theme, I grew up with liberal parents. Did you? Probably not, Charlie. You were
no,
probably
not liberal parents. I grew up with parents that love the country.
You had, right. Well, my parents, I think, had a different form of love. They were tear gassed protesting Nam in the 60s and voted for Dukakis, Mondale, all those
people.
Great winners. Yes.
Yeah.
And so my parents decided that I needed character, and they decided to send me to survival camps out in the middle of the wilderness. You know, here's a book of matches and a knife. I'll see you in a month. So a lot of those stories are about how I'm actually more in touch with the environment than these radical environmentalists like AOC, who knows nothing about conservation and about global warming.
Now did you grow up in New York or New Jersey? Because it seems that's like a New Jersey thing. You just send your kids to camp and they come back different people.
Yeah, so I grew up in Philly and in the Northeast.
Ah, that's right. You're an Eagles fan.
With your overprivileged children, as you send them to wilderness schools.
That's exactly right, because
very
it gets them
expensive schools
cultured.
Yes. Right. Very. So they learned how to pitch a tent and build a fire.
Right.
Mine were just a little more extreme. I think my parents were trying to kill me. And then, you know, got fired. You've probably been fired before. I got fired from about five jobs before I landed at Fox, fired from a restaurant, asset management company. I was a bellhop for a while, learned a lot about capitalism from bellhopping. And so landed on the Factor, got a shot. Bill said I was annoying everybody in the building. So he wanted to send me out to the streets to annoy everybody else. So he gave me a shot. And a lot of these stories are about me kind of traveling throughout the country, observing liberals in their natural habitat, San Francisco, Martha's Vineyard, at the beaches. And I found that they're just very insecure people and they project their insecurity onto the country as a way to stay relevant and control us because they have to soothe their anxiety that way. And it's always ends in disaster and they're constantly just trying to manage and stay in power. And it just really just destroys everything. So we just really have to sideline these people. And once in a while, and you know, you just have to say no, just tell them no and knock it off.
So you would say this is a psychological issue, that they have massive insecurity, therefore they want to control the entire world.
I don't like to make broad sweeping generalizations.
Yeah, of
about
course,
people.
Like saving the world or things
right,
like
right.
that.
But right. I'm going to say, yes, Charlie, you summed it up perfectly. It is a psychological condition. Not everybody has it. There's degrees of how much it affects people. But for the most part, liberals are not secure in themselves. They're uncomfortable with the success of America and they feel guilt and they have to assuage that guilt by meddling, by controlling, by dividing, and by casting blame at pretty much everything that makes this country great in order to control it and fix it.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? A lot. Truth is, I know millions of people. In fact, some people say over 100 million people are struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. Now, Pete and Seth Talbot, they are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. People ask me, tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. So maybe you want to be able to do cartwheels or be able to do backflips like producer Andrew. Maybe you want to be able to run a marathon, swim under seas, swim underwater, go scuba diving, jump out of an airplane. Or maybe you want to be able to go to the Phoenix Suns finals game like some other people are going. But maybe it's your knee pain, back pain, joint pain, whatever pain it might be. Maybe Relief Factor is for you. ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug free. Check it out. ReliefFactor.com. So tell us a little bit about some of the recent media experiences you've had. You interviewed Donald Trump. We both have spent a lot of time with him. Tell our viewers, what is he like in person?
You've spent more time with Trump than anybody. I mean, you guys are
not anybody,
you guys are close and you should just be so grateful because anybody, and I'm just going to throw politics out. A liberal, a socialist, an anarchist, you go in and you meet this guy will make you feel like you're having the time of your life. Super gracious, super entertaining, fun guy to be with, telling stories, cracking jokes, informing you, expressing himself, just probably one of the most gracious hosts and human beings you could be around just on a personal level. Take politics out. And, you know, I was just very thankful to be in his presence a few times and have some great stories in the book about dinners and trips and things like that, which people will enjoy and will laugh at.
So tell us a little bit about what it's like to work at Fox News. What is it like to have to talk to liberals every single day as a Fox News personality? They keep on, they're dropping like flies recently, Jesse. They keep on having to bring in these new liberals. And what, because a lot of our young people listen to this podcast, they're on college campuses. They have to deal with liberals all day long. You get paid to talk to liberals. You get paid to actually go deal with college professors.
Not enough, Charlie.
Well, this is part of your contract negotiation is yes. You have to say, look, I literally get paid to have to deal with these people. What is that like? And what are some tips you have to be able to deal with the left with whimsy and charm and a little bit of mockery? Because they definitely deserve that.
Well, you get it because you go to these campuses, and it's different when you're in person as opposed to on television. If you're just on a screen in front of someone, you're a little more callous. You kind of can get away with it being a little more rough. But when you're actually, you can smell the liberal, and they're right in their in your face, and you can read their body language. You have to be careful because in the wild, you know, liberals can act angry. They can lash out like a caged animal, and you have to be cautious because anything can set them off. So they're tender people, very sensitive, and are not used to being confronted by conservative philosophy. Remember, they have not been exposed, many liberals, to our arguments before and our and the foundation of our arguments. So when they're confronted with facts and reasoned conservative opinions, they can react violently. They can, it's disturbing for them because it destroys their entire mindset. You know, they think of us as less than human. They think of us as uncivilized. They think of us as bigots. So when you actually express a coherent argument based on reason and fact, it's disturbing because it rocks their worldview. So when you're up close and personal with them, you have to be gentle. You can tease. You can, but you actually have to bring them along. You know, it's a journey for liberals. Liberals, you know, they're in a process, Charlie, they're learning, they'll get there. Not all of them, but some will get there as they grow older. So you just have to lead them nicely to greener pastures.
So speaking of greener pastures, since you kind of played out the Walden in the woods type thing and you found the transcendental nature, do you think a socialist can survive in the woods? Do you think that a communitarian like AOC, Jesse Waters in the woods, like the real woods, not like, you know, not like upstate New York. I'm talking like the Yukon, right?
Something tells me AOC's never been in the wilderness. I don't know her personally, but she just does not seem self-sufficient. Could be wrong. I could be wrong, often not, but could be
wrong.
Well,
Jesse, in all fairness, you don't exactly strike me as, you know, the call of the wild. So you got to convince me here.
I said, Charlie, I rebelled against that. My father sent me 6 years in a row to survival school. So I had to learn how to spearfish.
Oh, is that right?
And we would hike with 60-pound backpacks up to ice cap peaks, and I had a little ice pick to, you know, hoist myself up.
So were you a problem child, Jesse?
Yes, I was a problem child. It was either this or military school, Charlie. And one time I arrived at one of these camps, and it was like me, this guy named Chavez, who packed his bag in a Glad bag, and I had like an Abercrombie backpack, and a girl who was cutting herself in the bathroom before we left base camp. So I actually think my parents were sending me to like reform school here, but I survived, and look at me now. I'm a big smash hit on Fox. So they must have done something right. But AOC, I don't know. I would invite her out to the woods, but I don't want to go myself. So
I have the next Fox Nation show. Which yes. is not survival with Bear Grylls, but no, it's Jesse Waters in the wild. In fact, I think Fox Nation should do their own PG version of Naked and Afraid with Jesse Waters in the wild. And I mean, you want to get Fox Nation downloads, that would definitely get something. Yes. So can a socialist survive in the woods, Jesse?
I'm going to say no, just because they would have to be asking other people for help the whole time. And that's what being in the woods is not about. It's about surviving on your own.
So it's about self-reliance, and it's about not blaming other people for your issues or your problems.
It's raining. It's not conservatives' fault. It's the weather. It's not global warming.
Well, I was going to say it's the evil industrialists.
It's not capitalism that made you lose your place in the woods. So you just don't have a compass and you can't realize the sun sets in the west and rises in the east.
Well, now, in all fairness, the compass is likely a innovation of the white cisnormative hetero male. So compasses are not allowed. Instead, you must feel your way through the woods. So,
that's right.
So Jesse, you've experienced media warfare up close and personal. Tell us about that when the other side just wants to destroy you.
So years ago, this was before your time, we used to have a corporate battle with NBC News. They were owned by General Electric. And there was a guy on MSNBC at 8 o'clock who was just savagely attacking Fox hosts in a personal way, Keith Olbermann, totally unhinged guy. And it got really personal. And General Electric, we found out, was selling airplane parts to the Iranians, skirting sanctions during the Iraq War. Those airplane parts were being used by militia members to set IUDs off in Iraq, killing U.S. soldiers there. And I was dispatched to Calgary to confront Jeffrey Immelt, the head of General Electric at the time. So that began a media war between Fox and General Electric. And we talk about this in the book. We went undercover at shareholder meetings. There was some secret audio that was recorded, and, you know, it got dirty. I was ambushed myself. I probably deserve it. You know, I went out and tracked people down in their driveways. I was tracked out in my driveway. I just handled it a lot better than most people. So in the book, I give advice on how to handle a jerk like
me. So how do you handle an ambush, Jesse?
So if you're confronted in a spontaneous way, you're going to look guilty no matter what. So the best thing to do, and this is what someone did. This guy used to run Merrill Lynch, and he took a $165 million golden parachute, left the stockholders high and dry during the financial crisis. Guy golfed every day, like scratch golfer, never was in the office. And he fleeced the company. So Stan O'Neill, and he was leaving his townhouse on the Upper East Side, go into his country club, and he had his golf bag around his shoulder. And I started hammering. What do you have to say to the shareholders? 6 a.m. I was right in his face. Charlie, he didn't say a word. He did the perp walk. Now, the perp walk, I recommend. It might not make you look great, but it's better than talking. Because when you talk, you're going to engage. I'm going to trip you up. And you're going to lose your cool. And that's what we want. Rosie O'Donnell. Remember, only Rosie O'Donnell. She lost
only her cool. Only Rosie O'Donnell.
You do a good one. She lost her cool at a book signing. You recall in The View, she said 9/11 was an inside job. She was talking about Building 7. I don't know. Anyway, it was really disrespectful. And that was it was right on the heels of 9/11. So New Yorkers, especially police, were upset by this. And I pounced on her at a book signing, just politely, because you know I'm a gentleman, Charlie.
Yeah,
and
of course.
She had her goon security grab my camera. That's what we want. We want you to Alec Baldwin yourself, right? We want you to swing at us. We're looking for a Sean Penn moment, and 9 times out of 10, that's what happens. And you can't do that. You got to keep your cool, and that's what life is about, keeping your cool in that moment. Once you control your emotions, you can conquer anything.
Now, maybe it's because of the virus, but I don't see much ambush journalism happening anymore. I really don't, especially against like super powerful people. So I knew someone that worked with Stan O'Neill, and you're exactly right. That whole thing is just a disaster. Don't need to go into that. But that was a time when powerful people were directly confronted by truth tellers. Where is Jesse Waters going after Jeff Bezos? If you save the world, Jesse, why don't you go confront Zuckerberg? You could just solve this whole problem for us.
Well, thank you for giving me license to go to California and expense that trip, Charlie.
Anytime for FoxNation.com, you can blame Charlie Kirk.
So I have to be in studio 5 days a week now. You know, I miss the streets because I used to get a great vibe from the folks about what they were feeling, and I had the pulse of the people, and I would hunt people down that deserved it. I can't do that anymore. I got to be back at 5 for the 5.
You're a corporate guy now. I got it.
Well, okay. Listen, they want me in the chair. I'm going to be in the chair, Charlie. So we missed a mini-me who would, I think now, forget the virus. This died before that. We need a little Mike Wallace. Remember, 60 Minutes used to do
that. Oh, yeah.
60 Minutes used to be the marquee program for putting mics in faces and holding these guys accountable, because you have to shame them. You have to embarrass them. You have to put the heat on, because they're not going to change their behavior. It's about putting a spotlight, exposing bad behavior, and changing that behavior. And we did that with judges across the country who were giving soft sentences to sex offenders. And we used to do it to politicians. But now I would step to these titans in California. I would step to these Maxine Waters types down in the swamp, and Bill de Blasio, Andrew Cuomo. There's no one doing that anymore. And it gives politicians a pass, because these powerful people, corporate people, they'll get away with whatever they can get away with. And when we're there, here, right here, Charlie, breathing down their neck, they'll cut that out.
Well, and that's the type of journalism that I think is missing right now. Instead, it's just angry bloggers typing the same thing. Like, oh, I read something on Twitter, and that's journalism. And the true powerful people actually kind of go almost totally unscathed. So you have had.
Wait a second. Let me interrupt you. You just gave me a great idea. You should invest. Turning Point. You should have a little institute or a little wing of your organization that does train. I wouldn't call them guerrilla media or gonzo journalists, but trains on the street journalists to yes. get access to people and players to do undercover work. And I think you guys could really make an impact that way.
Well, thank you. It's a great idea. And you could be the chairman of that project, Jesse. We will call it the Jesse Waters Ambush Project or the Institute of World Salvation chaired by Mr. Waters. We would love that. And no, it's a great idea. And Jason Matera used to do this too. You and Jason Matera, I don't know what I haven't heard of Jason in a while, but it was this kind of idea of just pop-up journalism. It's really special.
Did you ever read the fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode? It says that your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, or your internet service provider. How can they even call it incognito? To really stop these people from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used the Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, a hotel, or even at your parents' home. Without ExpressVPN, every single site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's still true when you're in incognito mode. What's more is your home internet provider, I'm talking about Comcast, AT&T, or whatever, can also see and record your browsing data. ExpressVPN is an application, it's an app, that encrypts all of your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so that your private online activity says just that, private. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices and it's super easy to use. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Charlie. Use my link at expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more.
So, Jesse, I see that you are going to form an exploratory committee with Cori Bush soon to try to take back the White House. Can you tell us why you think so highly of Cori Bush?
Have you ever encountered a more disappointing politician? And Charlie,
yes,
there has
but
been
that's
a
okay.
lot. Okay. Well, she's definitely up there. I went through her profile the other day. We're talking reparations. We're talking release all prisoners from prison and putting them into rehab facilities. We're talking legalized crack, Charlie. I mean, defund the police. She's not ashamed of it. She just says it in plain English. So she represents St. Louis. To the people of St. Louis, you're getting smoked. She does not have your best interests at heart. She's not there for you. She's there for herself. She's an advocate for an ideology that history has proven false. And personally, I think she's an idiot because she doesn't know history. And to say that on social media on July 4th that Black Americans aren't free, I think that is done in order to keep Black Americans believing that white Americans are constantly trying to enslave them. She does that to divide us as through a race, and she tries to make white people feel guilty about some stranger's great-great-great-great-grandfather, what he did 300 miles away in another state. Nothing to do with us. We shouldn't be ashamed of our history. We should own it. We should know what it was. But we're not going to be guilted into being led down a socialist path because someone did something, I don't know, 300 years ago.
And it seems as if that's her new the new talking point. It's not just her, Maxine Waters as well, who's really she's really something as well. In addition,
yeah,
what is it
about to work? She's not related to me. I want to clear that up.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
She's the original Waters, though, I got to say. And we're all living in her world.
Same family tree, I'm sure.
Yes.
She comes over for Thanksgiving.
You guys look closely related.
Closely related. And, you know, I have no problem discussing slavery. I believe this country obviously started off as a slave-owning country for the most part, but we rectified it through a lot of blood, Charlie. It was white Republican Northerners that went to war to free the slaves from the Democrats. Notice how they never talk about the Civil War. They always try to pick that scab about the founding. It's always about the founding, and they never want that scar to heal. And they use that to control us. But Maxine's a joke. I think someone needs to look into her financial situation out there. And again, she represents Watts, I believe, a part of the country that has just not thrived. We'll put it charitably over her tenure as a member of Congress?
Well, I think that you should primary her because I would just love to see two waters running again. And everyone would be so confused. And
one T versus two. Yeah.
That's Bring right. On. So Jesse, tell us, why do you think that we allow 10% of the left to control the entire discourse?
We don't allow it. It's just the system that we operate in is controlled by corporate media. We're talking social media as well. I mean, social media, if you look at Twitter, they did a study. It's dominated by white, female, atheists, college-educated liberals who are very sensitive towards political correctness and are for open borders. Now, you look at that ecosystem, that's not real America. But people feed off that ecosystem and think that's the truth. That's not the truth. So we have to stop catering to an environment that's just like funny. It's like a funny mirror. It's not real. And we got to get out of that. And we got to get out into the country and find what real people are talking about, because that's not what they're talking about in Alabama and Texas and Florida and Pennsylvania. We're not talking about, 16,000 genders and we're not talking about, I don't know, whatever there is they're talking about on Twitter. I don't really go on it.
Yeah, Twitter is a cesspool. So I'm still trying to figure out what Bill O'Reilly saw in you, but for other people, can you give some career advice? Because basically the advice that I'm getting here is whatever your parents believe, do the opposite, go to wilderness camp, complain about it, be a smug intern for Bill O'Reilly and hope it works out. Is that about right?
You nailed it. And one more other thing, do what you're told. When Bill told me to do something, I did it. I didn't ask a lot of questions. A lot of times kids these days, they get assignments in corporate America and they care about what the boss feels about them. You think the boss cares what a 23-year-old college grad feels about an assignment? They don't care how you feel. They're trying to make profits. They have shareholders they're accountable to. No one cares about what you think or what you feel. You're 23. You're probably making 45 G's. You're expendable. If you're going to be a problem, they'll get rid of you. They'll find someone that wants to work harder and won't complain. So stop complaining. Work hard. Keep your nose down. In 10 years, you're going to wake up. You might have a show on Fox. That's what happened to me.
And it's called Waters World, which is very impressive.
It is. I'm very impressed by it, Charlie.
So since you've saved the world, that means that the world's in a good place. Tell us what minor adjustments you would make to our country and what people can do about it. What do you see as looming as the biggest threats to our civilization?
Right now, the border's open, and I think that's a critical threat to our safety and our society just by the massive influx. We're talking about a million two a year now at this point. Biden has no plan for it. He broke the border on purpose to turn Texas blue. We know that. He doesn't have a solution for it. So I don't know what Abbott can do and DeSantis can do. They're treading water. We just got to take back the House and see what we can do in the midterms, because that's a critical threat. Critical race theory also, they're trying to inject poison into the brains of our youth. I don't know about you, Charlie, when I was in fifth grade, I was worried about my parents. I was getting into fights in the schoolyard. I started liking girls. I was in no position to start learning about white guilt and how I was guilty for slavery 200 years ago. And then in terms of gas prices, I mean, I just filled up the guy pumping my gas had a Rolex. It was like $3.50 a gallon.
Now, do you live in New Jersey, Jesse?
I have a home there.
That's why someone pumps your gas, you aristocrat.
It's a law.
I know. It's one of the few states I just want to make sure everyone's clear, because I could just hear our listeners in Fargo, North Dakota gasping like, what does he live in some sort of place? No, it's actually a law.
Yeah, they don't let you pump your own gas in New Jersey. You just
And Oregon as well. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, you give them your little card and they ask you unleaded, and it's just it's an experience. And I'm not complaining. And then so gas prices, that's on the horizon. I'm worried about the hacks, because Joe seems befuddled. I mean, didn't he just draw a line and Russia just broke it? He doesn't have a plan to stand up to the Ruskies. That's clear as day. So I think those three things. I think immigration, I think gas prices, and critical race theory. You couple that with the crime wave this summer, people getting shot dead in the streets by strays. Because here's the thing, population density in a big city You know, these gangbangers, they don't know how to aim. They're just firing randomly. You could hit anybody. That's why you get so many casualties on a weekend, 100 shot in Chicago. They're not aiming. They're just spraying. So that's why it's so dangerous. You got to get these guys incarcerated. So those are the things that I think are driving midterm sentiment and are going to be pretty consequential coming up.
Well, and they say, well, defunding the police obviously doesn't help that. So, Jesse, you talk a lot about the cultural issues on your show, and you see what's happening. How big do you think this school board critical race theory thing is? I mean, the energy around it seems similar to the Tea Party movement in 2010.
Yeah, so we covered the Tea Party, and you were probably in diapers, but we were shocked because I'd never seen that in my career before, where regular parents and shop owners were gathering in the public square. And they were expressing their political beliefs in a really authentic way. You're seeing that now. Parents are getting off the sidelines and just screaming at school board officials. And the school board officials, they don't know how to handle it. I mean, they're like shutting the mics down. They're arresting people. Trust me, that's not how you handle angry moms. Nothing more powerful than an angry mom. Mom's already teed up just over their kids being held out of school for a year. Now you want to tell them that they're racist? That's a bad combo. Nothing more dangerous than an angry mom in this country. And that I've never seen, Charlie, the left so discombobulated, disoriented, and disorganized trying to defend critical race theory. What are they saying? They're either saying critical race theory doesn't exist, it's not being taught, or critical race theory is being taught, but it's not that bad, and it's not being taught in middle school. And if it is being taught in middle school, then it's okay because we need to learn about racism. They don't have a defense to this, and I've never seen the left so disorganized from a public relations standpoint than critical race theory, and that means we're winning big time.
I think you're right. So Jesse, I have a couple other things I want to chat in just the couple minutes we have remaining. The question that everyone has here is, why does your mom hate you?
Yeah, I wouldn't say hate. I'd say she despises Donald Trump and used to watch The Five with a cocktail in her hand every day for 4 years. And would just send me the most hostile text messages. So one day I was like, "Show," I was like, "Gutfeld, could you believe this? This has like F-bombs in it." And this is my mom. And we decided to read it on the air, and it took off. And she actually called into The Five because we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary this week. I feel like a woman, Charlie. I'm celebrating my birthday for a whole week. I don't know if your wife does that, but my wife sure does. It's a lot of cake. And a lot of presents. So we're doing that. And my mom called in, and I love her to death, but she has calmed since Sleepy Joe became president. But I think that was the intention. It was to put everybody to sleep. So
it's the lullaby presidency.
The lullaby president. Hush, little baby. Don't say a word while I destroy the country. And
that's right.
And, you know, and take all your money.
While I plunder the entire nation.
Right.
And so now, Jesse, let's talk Philadelphia Eagles football. So are you still watching the NFL, or are you protesting? So tell me the moral reason why you still watch football, despite all these people who hate the nation and they're all over the place. Give me the moral argument, because this is something that I wrestle with our listeners every day, because I'm like, I don't watch the finals. I don't want to hear about it.
I don't have a moral argument. I'm immorally watching the NFL. You mean it's like football Sunday, man. We got Jalen Hurts behind center, where I think we're going to make the playoffs this year. We got a lot of talent at wide receiver and running back. We had a few great draft picks. So I think we'll win the East and make a good run. But in terms of the kneeling, like, we did that. I'm not going to boycott it. I got to watch my football. You played football, right? I've seen your arm, Charlie. You can air it out. So as an athlete, I can't just stay on the sidelines, you know, and watch playoff baseball. It's too boring. I got to watch football on Sunday. I got to watch my birds.
So you think the Eagles are going to be pretty good this year?
I think that every year, Charlie. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl every year.
And well, you were right a couple years ago.
We've only won once. We beat the Pats. We won once. And, you know, I could die a happy man after that.
And so in closing here, Jesse, the book is How I Saved the World, Jesse Waters' Miraculous Journey to Save Humanity. I'm kidding. I created the subtext. But anything else you wanted to mention, Jesse? Where can people find it? And how can they support, you know, you and the book?
Well, we are currently number two on Amazon behind a Reese Witherspoon book club recommendation, fiction. So if you, I don't have a beef with Reese, seems like a fine woman, but if you hate Hollywood, buy my book and we'll take her out.
Now I'm really curious what this book could possibly be. Oh, it's the Reese's.
No, you're not curious, Charlie. You don't care at all.
Oh, I'm about to say it. No, I'm not, because I'm loyal, Jesse. That's why. The book is How I Saved the World. Let's get Jesse to be the number one on Amazon, even though we hate them. And Jesse, thanks so much for joining us. We deeply appreciate it. I think we are seeing you at a Turning Point event sometime soon.
I can't wait. And I might actually tell your beautiful audience how to hold these punks accountable. We'll give you guys some tips about making these guys cry and pee themselves.
You need to come. You need to wear a cape when you attend our Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida. Jesse, thank you for saving humanity. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless you. Speak to you soon.